Thanks. Okay, we're going to read from Mark chapter 1 and verse 34 to 45. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place. You'll remember in the verses beforehand, he had been healing the sick, casting out demons, particularly healing Peter's mother-in-law. He'd had a very long day and a very short night because he's up early in the morning. He's off to pray. While it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so that I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. Jesus does a remarkable thing, reaching out to a leper in this passage. But before we come to that and the challenge of that, a few words here firstly about his priorities. Because I want us to notice these two priorities that Jesus had in his ministry from verse 35 to 39. What was the first priority for Jesus? What was it? Prayer. Brilliant. That's right. Prayer. Verse 35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. We all need a time to stop and to reflect. We've been doing that this morning. We've been reflecting back on the cost of our freedom. And here in Mark, after a busy day, casting out evil spirits, healing the sick, what do we find Jesus doing? He's up early the next morning, while it was still dark, finding a lonely place, a place he could get away to reflect and to pray. Wonder how good are we at following that example. Some of us are morning people. It's not unusual for me to be awake about 5:30. And when I wake up, I really am instantly awake. I really struggle to go back to sleep. For others of you, I know you are not morning people. But perhaps, unlike me, you're very alert at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock at night. Perhaps some of you just come alive then. The important thing is not when we make time, but if we make time to be alone with God, to reflect, to think, and to pray. Are we forming good habits in that direction? For every one of us, there are priorities, aren't there, in our lives. We all make time to eat. I certainly do. We all make time to sleep, to work. We have our social calendar, don't we? The things we want to fit in and do, the TV program we want to watch. But Jesus prioritized prayer. After the exhausting activities of the previous day, who would have blamed Jesus if he had a bit of a lie-in that morning? But he is up. He is praying to his Father before tackling another day of ministry. And if you look through the Gospels, you'll see that this was his regular habit. We find Jesus praying before he was baptized, before he chose his disciples, at the feeding of the 5,000 on the Mount of Transfiguration, before he taught his disciples the Lord's Prayer at Lazarus's tomb, before Peter's denial in Gethsemane as he agonizes over his death, and even praying on the cross itself for those who were persecuting him. We also find him praying after his resurrection. And we're only touching the tip of the iceberg. It was his regular habit to communicate with God the Father, to get away and to pray. Is it our regular habit? The great Baptist pastor C.H. Spurgeon once said, "Sometimes we think we're too busy to pray." That is a great mistake, for praying is the saving of time. Praying is the saving of time. Isn't it true, actually, that you know when we neglect that relationship with God, when we fail to pray, we start to do things that are not pleasing to God, and we get ourselves in a mess, and it takes a long time to sort it out, and we have to come back to God, and we waste a lot of time when we could have just followed him in the first place. It requires faith that God will achieve his purpose. If I produce a sermon, it's obvious to you whether I've put the work in or not this week. If we pray, it's sometimes hard to see a tangible result, isn't it? Certainly straight away. It's hard to think, has this been worthwhile? But Jesus made it his priority because he knew that this was absolutely vital to his day-to-day ministry. And the results of the prayer came through. And actually, I don't know if you've ever written a prayer diary, but if you write down things you prayed for and then go back to it, you'll see that the results of the prayer come through. It might take some time. It might take weeks. It might take years. But keep on praying. The priority of prayer. What's the second priority? What's the second priority we read about? Teaching and preaching. The preaching of God's word. Second priority is preaching. Verse, 36. Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so that I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. That is why I have come. Perhaps the disciples expected Jesus to stay in Capernaum. Perhaps there were still more people coming for healing. But Jesus said, "Let's go. Let's go somewhere else." Why? Because he had a message to get out to as many people as possible. There were more people somewhere else who also needed to hear. Notice the priority isn't on healing the sick or casting out demons. These miraculous things showed who Jesus was. They authenticated who he was. But the key thing was his message of the need of repentance and faith. people's biggest issue, and it remains today, was the sin in their hearts that needed dealing with. And a cure for sin remains our greatest need. That's why he came to be the sacrifice for sin, to make forgiveness possible, to give us the hope of eternity. And we must never lose these sight of these priorities as a church: prayer and the preaching of God's word, the telling to others the good news of the hope of Jesus Christ. And all of us are called to rely on God in prayer, but also to be faithful to this calling to share the hope that we have found in Jesus. That isn't just the task of the minister on a Sunday. It's your task to share it with your friends and your neighbours, the hope that you have found in Jesus. And sharing the gospel means reaching all people, people of all nationalities and social status, without prejudice, without picking the targets of the people that we think are more likely to respond. And Jesus sets us an example, doesn't he, in who he now reaches out to. Not someone that people would have expected him to go anywhere near. And so we see him reaching out to this leper. Leprosy has for thousands of years been one of the most feared diseases on the planet. What we call leprosy today is a disease known as Hansen's disease, although the general term leprosy in the Bible probably incorporates a whole host of different skin diseases. Dr. Amor Hansen was a Norwegian scientist who first discovered the leprosy germ under a microscope in 1873. All these stamps are from countries in Africa and India, where they hold up this man Hansen as a hero because he found the reason why so many people were suffering from leprosy. So they produced these stamps in memory of him. Hansen's finding was revolutionary because it proved once and for all that leprosy wasn't hereditary, nor was it a curse on people, as some people thought. It was a bacteria. Contrary to popular ideas, fingers and toes do not fall off as a direct result of leprosy. The disease attacks, I can show you, sorry about these photos, but these are the realities of people suffering from leprosy. The disease attacks nerve endings and destroys the body's ability to feel pain. And without feeling pain, people injure themselves with fire, thorns, rocks, whatever it might be. It might be even just as simple as holding a hot cup of coffee in your hand and not realizing the pain that is coming. These injuries in turn often become infected and result in tissue loss. Leprosy often also affects the face and the eyes. People catch leprosy through coughing and sneezing. Some people think it's highly contagious, but it's actually thought that 95% of us have a natural immunity to leprosy. So the likelihood of you getting it is relatively small. There wasn't an effective cure for leprosy until 1981, when there was a combination of three drugs brought together called multiple drug therapy, or MDT. And these three drugs were given to people with remarkable results. And today, people can be cured of leprosy, particularly if it's caught early. It's estimated that it might cost as little as £250 to cure a person of leprosy. So there's some fantastic things going on today where organisations like the Leprosy Mission do a brilliant job in getting the treatment out across the year, across the world. 1 million people worldwide are receiving treatment for leprosy each year. It's estimated that there are 2 to 3 million people still living with disability caused by leprosy. More than 500,000 new cases are detected each year. There is no vaccine against it, but early identification can lead to an effective treatment. So there's so much being done today to help people with leprosy. But of course, in the time of Jesus, there was no known medical cure. And to be a leper was to be an outcast, wasn't it, in society. Those who suffered were often seen as being under some kind of curse or judgment from God. What sin had they committed that God had allowed them to suffer in this way? And because leprosy was contagious, communities generally sent lepers to live away on their own or to live in leper colonies with other sufferers. So it's incredible that this leper ever attempted to come near to Jesus. He was risking the wrath of the non-sufferers who wouldn't have wanted him in their vicinity. Get out! What are you doing here? Would have been the reaction. But he must have heard of Jesus' healing power. Perhaps he considered this Jesus was his only hope of a cure, and he wasn't wrong in that. But what perhaps is even more incredible is the willingness of Jesus to receive him. Most people, on hearing or seeing a leper approaching, would have run a mile, but not Jesus. And not only does Jesus welcome him, but what does he do? He reaches out and touches him. He touches the untouchable. It's quite likely that this was the first physical touch that this man had experienced from someone else for many years. Jesus is willing to befriend the absolute outcast of society. Now, this has a couple of applications I want to make to us today. The first thing that it says to me is that Jesus is willing to reach out to any one of us. You see, we also suffer from a seemingly incurable disease, one with eternal consequences, and that is the disease of sin. It's our bias to go away from what God really wants us to do in our lives. It's our bias to do wrong, and we've all fallen into sin. Not one of us is without it. And because of it, we're destined not to spend eternity in a leper colony, but outside of God's camp, outside of God's blessing forever. Worse than a leper colony. This is hell itself, to be shut out from the presence of God. But by coming to our world, Jesus demonstrates his willingness to cure us of this disease. MDT, multiple drug treatments, take 6 to 12 months to cure a leper today. But Jesus healed this man instantaneously. just as he had done Peter's mother-in-law, as we saw last time. And Jesus can instantaneously this morning deal with your sin. Isn't that tremendous? He's done it with mine. And it just requires us to admit that we have the problem and to cry out to him for mercy to cleanse us. This now former leper was ordered to go to Jerusalem to show himself to the priest as a clean man. And if you did that, an offering was required of two birds under the Old Testament law. You can read about it in Leviticus 14, but I won't bore you with all the detail. But someone who was a leper who claimed to have been cleansed had to take two birds. One was sacrificed, the other was dipped in the blood and released. And the blood of the slain bird was sprinkled on the former leper, and he was then declared by the priest to be clean. And this paints a picture for us of the death and the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ, that his blood has been shed for our cleansing, to purify us from sin, to pay the cost of our sin. In Denmark, there is a cathedral in Copenhagen, and there's this famous statue, and it's called Thorvaldsen's Christ. That's a bit of a mouthful, isn't it? Thorvaldsen's Christ. And one man describes his experience of seeing this figure. As he walked towards it, a Danish friend drew near and said to him, "You'll not be able to fully see the face of Jesus unless you kneel at his feet. You'll not be able to see fully the face of Jesus unless you first kneel at his feet." And actually, that is an honest assessment of our situation. We'll not be able to come face to face with Jesus in glory as our Saviour unless we first humble ourselves at his feet and we own our sin and we cry to him like this leper did for mercy. "Lord, if you are willing, you can cleanse me." "I am willing," says Jesus. Have we ever come to that point where we've said to him, "Lord, are you willing to make me clean? Because I own my sin." That's the first application, the willingness of Jesus to reach out to any of us. The second application is simply this: how willing are we to reach out to anyone? I want to show you a film clip in a moment. But I want to ask, you know, if you are someone who has been forgiven by Jesus Christ, are you willing to touch the untouchables? Who have we labelled as unworthy of our respect, love, care, and time? Who do we demonstrate a prejudice against? Who do we say, "Well, yeah, I've got time for them, but I've written off them in my mind"? Let me just show you this little video where there was an experiment about how people show prejudice.
What's up, guys? Kobe from Model Pranksters. Today I'm here with Danny Barbosa. Should appearance matter when helping an injured person? Today we're gonna put that to the test. Hope you guys enjoy the video.
Oh.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
You okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Can you help him out?
Oh, yeah. Thank you, thank you.
Good crimes.
Oh, man.
You okay, sir?
Yeah, I'm good, I'm good. Oh, thank you. Oh, man, just right over that sidewalk. Oof. Oh! Yeah, thank you, thank you. Oh.
So today we were outside for almost 2 hours, and the sad truth about it all, I can tell you right now, I felt invisible. People heard me fall, people have saw me fall, and still, they would just stare at me and make me feel less of a human. It's sad that people rather help a man who seemed to have it all than to help a man that has nothing at all. And the crazy thing about this whole social experiment was that the only person that helped me out when I fell was another homeless man. This is something that a lot of you guys should think about. Because if you can't change yourself, then this world is only gonna get worse. Make sure you share this if this touched your heart, and make sure a lot of other people see this.
Make sure to check out the other new epic social.
Well, there's the challenge. How willing are we to reach out to anyone? Who are the untouchables for us? Albert Einstein said, you know, it's easier to split the atom than to change prejudice. It's difficult, isn't it? It's difficult, but it's not impossible. And what's the secret to us changing our hearts of a prejudice? Surely the secret is to come to realize the mercy and the grace that has been shown to us in Jesus Christ. Because we know what we're like, and yet he reached out in love to us. And so we must reach out with the same mercy and compassion to others. Paul writes in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." Paul's not saying there aren't any natural distinctions. Of course there are. They're obvious this morning, aren't they, in front of us? People of different nationalities, male and female, people who have plenty of money, people who don't have very much. There are distinctions in society. But in Christ, we are equal. And we are made equal. And we need to demonstrate that practically in the way that we deal with one another as equals. Do we form cliques? You know, when this service is over, we go down and have our coffee and we sit with the usual people that we always chat to and we sit in the same place and we don't welcome the people we don't know very well. We don't bother to go and have a conversation with them to be inclusive of them. We stick to what we know. But God is saying, no, reach out to all in my love, just as I reached out to you. Just in closing, when Raquel and I were growing up in the church in Bristol, just before we went off to Bible college, we did some open air work on the city centre, and there was this guy who was struggling as a drug addict, and we got into conversation with him, and he agreed to come to church, and he came into church, and he sat on the windowsill instead of the pew, and he stank, and people were saying to us, why are you bothering with him? And people were saying to us, do you know his reputation? People were saying, oh, I've heard about another church where he went in and the things he did. Is that how we are with people? Do we just write them off? Because Jesus doesn't write them off, does he? Jesus touches the untouchable. How willing are we to reach out to everyone? Amen.